The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Great time for you to check in. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. Whatever happens to be on your mind. 770-5633. A couple of subjects already in play. I'll also have some of the reaction to the interview yesterday with Christine Goodwin. Noah Robinson will be joining me this morning, I should say, about an hour from now. We'll have him in studio and talk about some of those issues, too. I also want to dig into, with Herman Bertschiger, we always have a talk with him once a week. He's an outgoing county commissioner in Josephine County. But you know, the influence of the lobbies, what we always talk about, the lobbies, because what have we always talked about? What controls the state of Oregon? It's the public employee unions, voters a little bit, I think, okay, the trial lawyers, and the lobbies. And we'll have a good talk with that. Herman kind of knows where the bodies are buried, and I always really appreciate that, okay? Happy to take your calls, like I mentioned. And looking at the price of gold this morning, of course, one of my favorite sponsors, been dealing with them for, 15 years at least, maybe even more. J. Austin & Company, Gold and Silver Buyers, Ashland 1632 Ashland Street, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. That's by appointment. You can call them, by the way, at 482-3715. Great people. And the ones that don't bend the knee for the state, I really appreciate that aspect of them, because what is buying physical gold or silver really about? It's about not trusting the central bank's ability to preserve the currency, right? Isn't that really what we're talking about right now? And it sounds as if the system is losing more control every week. Now, a week ago, when I was talking to you about the price of gold, it was about $2,230, something like that is what we were looking at, and maybe a little bit more than a week. Now, today, it's $2,366. It's about $100 more than it was a few days ago. Just on Friday, spiking heading into the weekend. Now, this may have been about the Israeli war fears. It spiked to $2,432, got smacked down a little bit hard, but still, it's in this trading range. It's not like it's plummeted back down to $1,700, $1,800 like it was. So Mr. Market is speaking loudly and clearly that people are looking for some extra security and not to have everything in paper promises. All right. Talk with J. Austin & Company, Gold and Silver Buyers, about this. Maybe you're looking at this and say, hey, $2,367, I'm selling. I've got scrap gold or silver and various other things. Silver, by the way, has also joined the party. It's about $28 an ounce right now, too. So we're looking at bullish action in the markets. But I'm not looking at it as a speculative play. But no matter how you're doing, talk to your financial expert and then talk to the recognized experts, J. Austin & Company, Gold and Silver Buyers, Ashland and Grants Pass, jaustinbrokers.com, and also fortunereserve.com. Buying and selling, they'll help you either way.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If you look at these images and the people that are out protesting in cities around the country and shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge and other areas and other cities around the country, this is the base that Joe Biden now finds himself in needing if he has any political ambition to win this election. This is why, you know, Israel, the worst terrorist attack in their history, you know, 1,200 people killed, you know, hundreds of others taken hostage. And what have we been hearing from this administration? Oh, we need a truce. Oh, Israel's too aggressive in fighting their war on terror. No lectures have been given to Hamas, the terrorist organization. This was an unprovoked attack, killing innocent men, women, and children.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
With everything going on in the world today, the war, the inflation, the geopolitical tensions, $33 trillion in national debt, it's no wonder people are looking to diversify their savings with gold and silver. But who does Sean Hannity choose for his gold and silver? None other than the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner with over 5,000 five-star reviews, and they've helped thousands of Americans place over $2 billion in gold and silver. They're Sean Hannity's top choice. And right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver for Sean Hannity listeners. But it's first come, first served, and only while supplies last. So don't wait. Call GoldCo at 855-815-GOLD to learn how you could get started today. Tell them Hannity sent you and see if you qualify for up to $10,000 in bonus silver. Call GoldCo at 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
Pebble in your shoe Tuesday, 14 after 7, 770-5633. I read a great piece on Lou Rockwell this morning. It had to do with the FISA reauthorization. And Ron Paul, former Congressman Ron Paul, wrote a great piece there. If you haven't seen it, go take a look at it. Dr. Paul saying FISA exchanges real liberty for phantom security. And he goes through it. He makes a good case. A lot of stuff that I was talking about with Rick Manning on Friday is in that, too. But you know what was really interesting? He said that, I'm just going to read the conclusion of this, and I thought Paul was right on this one. He says, when the Patriot Act was rushed to the House floor in the fall of 01, weeks after 9/11, and voted upon before members had a chance to read it, only three Republicans voted against it. One conservative rep told me that he voted for it, even though he agreed with my opposition to the bill, and he told me, I can't go back home and tell my constituents I voted against the Patriot Act. While the failure to pass the warrant amendment was dispiriting, the fact that it failed by only one vote shows how much progress we have made. It should thus inspire us to keep encouraging Congress to refuse to take away real liberty in the name of promises of phantom security. And that was former Congressman Ron Paul. And he's absolutely right about that. And that really irritated me that Mike Johnson was the one that broke the tie. Now, he broke the ties ostensibly because he didn't think that a warrant amendment would pass the Senate. Oh, yes, those defenders of liberty, those big conservatives and Democrats in the Senate, the cooling sauce in which we'll tell you how you're going to get it good and hard, I guess. But anyway, we can talk about that. Anything else on your mind, too? Let me go to line one. I think it's Bob. Bob's in Medford. Hello, Bob. What's on your mind today? Go ahead.
Hey. Good morning, Bill. Sunday was kind of a rainy day, so I took the time to watch Medford City Council study session from the past Thursday, and I thought it was very interesting. The news didn't really cover it too well, or hasn't thus far, that the folks from the Jackson County Animal Shelter showed up at the study session to discuss forming a taxing district.
Yeah, how did that conversation go? Because, what was it, 15 cents a thousand, I think is what they were talking about, right?
Yeah. Exactly. It didn't go over well, more like a lead balloon. Mm-hmm. The takeaways I got from it, and other people may watch it and take other things away, is Mayor, Councillor D'Alessandro, our own lovely Kevin Stein, and I think Nick Card said, why didn't we hear about this before the study session? Why didn't we have any conversations before the study session? And the lady presenting said, isn't that what the study sessions are for? So one that tells me, you know, City of Medford likes to have a little backdoor politics and a little non-quorum conversation.
Oh, that can't be true. That cannot
it's
be true.
On
that
tape.
I cannot believe you would say such a thing about our elected
it's
leaders.
It's on tape.
You stop it, okay?
It's on tape, okay? So that was the first take.
In other words, they don't want any surprises, right? No surprises.
Right. They don't want any surprises, mm-hmm. yet, you know, study sessions are what those are for. And, you know, she had her information and presented it well, but this was an hour and a half they almost spent on this one subject at a study session.
Well, you know, honestly, though, I think that and I know that the Jackson County for All Communists, you know, the Democrats that are pushing the charter changes, you know, they're all, oh, they should be funding this out of the general fund. They were upset about this yeah. talk about the fact of the matter is that it just same as in Josephine County. Your basic operating levy, $2 and a penny in the case of Jackson County, only goes up 3% a year. Inflation's way roared beyond that. It also has to pay for the jail. It also has to pay for the sheriff's department. And there are a lot of things that used to be paid out of $2 and a penny that can't be paid out of $2 and a penny anymore. That's just the way it goes. Okay? That's reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you were telling me, though, that one of the plans is that Sickler might want to knock down the old shelter if they get a new one?
Yeah, correct. There's a little Easter egg dropped in the conversation. Somebody made a side comment, and of course it's on audio and it picked up real well, that should they get a new animal shelter, which would be just south of the airport in that industrial area, they want to take the old shelter and knock it down. And I guess there was a little niblet of Sickler wanting to put in like a little mini jail right next to the work release center.
But you know, that's
that, about that.
But you know, that's not a bad idea. You know,
no,
if you
I suggested a long time ago.
Yeah, if you're not going to get the
space.
If you're not going to be able to get the big you know, $250 million jail right away because people aren't into that, we need the ability to put more miscreants, you know, behind bars.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're just we're playing catch and release. You arrest somebody and then you cut them loose an hour or two later. You know, just
yeah.
The way it is.
It'd be good to have Sickler on to discuss that and what those potential plans might be so people have an idea or understanding.
I will reach out to him today and we will talk about that very thing. Okay?
Cool.
All right. Thank you very much there, Bob. Good to hear from you. Let me go to Dave. Hello, Dave in the Iron Gate. Fire away. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is the KRRC and Mark Branson or whatever his name is, did a propaganda piece saying that Kennewick just decided not to do exploratory drilling and that they would seek approval for the dam removal. Well, if you're not going to do any drilling, that means you're not going to use any explosives, because the idea of drilling is to plant charges to blow the dam. So it seems like they have to shift their plan on how they're going to remove the dam. Hmm. And they plan on digging it out. If I understood the article I read on their propaganda piece, but it's not real clear how they're going to do it. And secondly, they challenge that former guy and Captain Bill's article that quoted the engineering, that the core of that is clay, and they say that it's not liquefied. They absolutely don't know nothing about clay. When you use it, like say in a well where you're going to seal around
your well pipe, yeah. Your casing.
That stays wet forever. It never dries out.
All right. Good point on that. And thanks for it. We'll get Captain Bill back on. Maybe he has an update here real soon. Thank you for that, Minor Day. Let me go to Lynn. Hello, Lynn. How are you today? What's on your mind today? It's not
really a
pebble in your shoe, but it's something interesting nonetheless.
Huh? Yeah, I want to talk about the court cases against Asante and the vaccines, but I just want to say really quick, nobody talks about that measure that Oregonians passed making it slave labor to have inmates work for less than minimum wage, I think is what it was.
That's right.
And those inmates in the minimum security facility next to the shelter used to take care of the dogs and do all that for free. And it was great because they loved it, too. Well, they can't do that anymore.
Stupid votes have stupid consequences, don't they?
So that I just wanted to point that out. But I mostly wanted to talk about, you know, KDRV reported this on the 9th of April, but otherwise I haven't seen anything. But Asante is not doing well lawsuits against it for firing people for not getting the jab.
Right.
I get an email from something called the COVID Law Cast, and this caught my attention. In Thompson versus Asante, the court emphasized that religious beliefs need not be painfully detailed, which is what these bigoted employers request.
That was what they were doing. Weren't they asking you to like go through a whole big quiz almost about your deeply held religious beliefs, right?
Which is against federal law. And then they fired him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like then KDRV reported there was 13 federal cases. They're looking at putting them, I don't know how this works, into a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. Chris Bristol wrote in the Daily Courier a few days ago. It's so funny that you called in about this, because I had this on the top of my stacks of things here, you know, that I thought were pretty interesting. But last Tuesday, Judge Clark held a scheduling conference because they are looking for joint status, and they have at least 13 of these lawsuits that have been filed that Bristol was writing about, and that's a lot. That's a lot of court resources here in Southwest Oregon. Really is.
So that's. I hope they do that, and I hope that Asante gets hit for millions and millions of dollars. And I know that's going to be terrible for our community, but if they get away with it, it will be worth.
So. Yeah, if there's no penalty for what was done, and by the way, that was one thing that we have to say that that Prov did the right thing on that. They hired a lot of those people that were blown out of Asante, but Asante was definitely bending the knee to the COVID. To the absolute cold COVID agenda there from Governor Brown back in the day. And that's very sad when you look back at that story.
And they were just cruel. Like, okay, finally, you know, they're desperate. They're in financial trouble in large part because they had to hire all these traveling nurses at triple the cost. But they finally invited the employees back. But if they weren't vaccinated, they would have to wear an N95 all the time, which is just virtue signaling. It doesn't do anything. Mm. And on top of that, they would lose their seniority. So they had to start at square one.
Exactly. And so, thanks. You're going to invite us back for that? Yes, screw you, I think is essentially what a lot of those people probably said.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about that is that I remember the real practicalities of what Asante did. And my sweetie Linda was enduring treatment at that point for cancer. All right. It was a really rough time. And she was good friends with some of the best nurses that Asante had. And they were the older nurses, the ones that had been there 20, 30 or more years. Right.
All that institutional knowledge.
In fact, she even nicknamed some of them like Patty Poke, because Patty was one of these nurses that was really, really good with getting the infusion needles in, you know, that kind of thing. And there was just such an expertise that these people had, and they were more or less thrown out with the trash during that period. Yeah. They said, we're done. You know, we can't do this. And all the people that were getting blown out were these amazingly experienced, competent people, some of the most competent people that they had, and essentially being replaced with 12-year-olds, you know?
Yeah, they got rid of their best people because their best people knew how to think, and they knew this was bogus. And they had the integrity to say, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So, and I don't mean to, you know, be down on the people that stayed, but the fact is those who did not bow to this were literally the best people they had.
And a lot of these people, the best people, though, like I'm mentioning, though, many of them had the opportunity that they could retire because they were close to retirement. They're saying, hey, I could stay, but why? Not under these conditions, they were telling me.
I know lots of younger people who gave up their careers.
Boy.
And some ended up going to Prov, but I'll never forget that protest along Barnett, you know, and they all put their shoes, I think, at the doorstep. And it was very moving and heartbreaking and just infuriating. You're like, who are these people running Asante? The CEO of Asante, I don't know if he still is, but at one time it was a Christian man. And I'm thinking, what are you thinking? Like, how could you do this? Anyway, it's so upsetting. But I guess it is a pebble in my shoe that they did this at all. But I'm encouraged that maybe they're going to lose in court and pay a penalty.
All right. Appreciate the call, Matt. Thank you very much, Lynn. 770-5633. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. Let me go to line four. Hello. Hi, who's this?
Good morning, Bill. This is Mike Pelfrey up in Grants Pass.
Mike, take it away. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'm calling in to basically talk about yesterday's conversation with Christine Goodwin and the fact that she did everything in her part to control the conversation and to discuss everything but the fact that she states that she lives in this particular district that she's running for. And, you know, I can tell you that there is no way on the planet that she is living at the property that she's talking about, because I took a ride out there on a Sunday just to see what it was like. And first of all, I can see why the tasting room is no longer open because it's in the middle of nowhere. When you turn down the road to get to the tasting room, it's basically a one lane road. So, it's very difficult to get to. It's, you know, it's tucked away back there, but needless to say, we pull into the property, knocked on the door, and a young lady with a baby answered the door. And I said, is Christine Goodwin there? And she looked at me like she didn't know what the heck I was talking about. And then finally, she goes back into the house, and then a gentleman, young man, I'm assuming her husband, came out, and he said, well, she's up in Salem. And so I just asked, does she live here? And they basically said that she rented a studio in the property.
Okay.
And the only thing that was on that property was there is a fifth wheel and some dilapidated buildings. So there's no way that Christine Goodwin is being honest about the fact that she lives at this particular property, which is enabling her to run for this particular office. And, you know, the other thing that's pretty glaring is that, you know, for some reason, it just doesn't pass the smell test to me, for the simple fact that, you know, there is tons and tons of money being poured into her campaign to run for a position that she had to change her address for, or supposedly changed her address for. So something's just not right there. And so, you know, it doesn't pass the smell test for me. And I hope all of the voters sit back and do their due diligence and think about why it is that she's trying so hard to run for this position rather than in her own district. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, the district that she was in was David Brock Smith's district. So that's why, you know, didn't want to run against David Brock Smith. I think David Brock Smith is, shall we say, well connected with the lobbies, things like that. And so,
right.
The idea, I think, from the lobbies is that the lobbies want to get rid of no votes. They want more people. I think this is just my opinion. I'm just doing a little political spitballing here. My opinion is that they're looking for people who will be cooperative and pliable for what they're looking at. And they don't want people saying no. They want people, since the Democrats are in control, I guess they want people helping Democrats, Mike. I don't know how else you put it, okay?
It's just... Well, that's the only thing that I can see from this is they're wanting some yes people up there that will basically fold and which is exactly what is wrong with the state of Oregon.
But on the other hand, if you're not pliable, you're probably not going to get a lot of infrastructure money being brought back to the area too. So there's a cost to not be a laydown for the Democrats, unfortunately. So people have to understand that with their votes too. Mike, I appreciate the call. Thanks for sharing your thoughts about visiting the property. Interesting claim. Now you are part of that lawsuit though, if it gets reestablished, right? From Commissioner West, what he talked about, right?
Yes, we are a part of that lawsuit if it does get reestablished. So we'll just sit back and wait, and let's hope and pray that Noah Robinson is elected. And guess what? We don't have to do anything with that lawsuit going further.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Mike. It's 7:31. Now, by the way, if somebody feels differently about this, what Mike had talked about, because he's on that one side, you are welcome to call. It's a Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. If you're on hold, I will get right to you. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Purchase a new Wayne Dalton garage door and genie opener and get $150 cash back at American Industrial Door. Now through April, choose a Wayne Dalton steel door, including modern, traditional, and carriage house styles, and get $100 cash back. Then pair it with a genie opener for another $50 cash back. American Industrial Door will help you find the perfect mix of style and functionality to replace your old door. See the possibilities at American Industrial Door showrooms on Crater Lake Avenue in Central Point and in Grants Pass on Union Avenue.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Rentier Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon E-Deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Rentier Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
Do you have an electrical checklist at your house that needs to be completed? Call Completed Electric Plus. Need a dimmer switch installed? Completed. Fan installation? Completed. Breaker problem? Completed. New plug by your favorite chair? Completed. Electrical jobs around the house get completed quickly, expertly, and affordably with licensed techs from Completed Electric Plus. Specializing in residential electric jobs, call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit them at CompletedElectricPlus.com.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty available. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Uh-oh. Let's see. DA files a motion of contempt against former President Trump. Meanwhile, Representative Massey is going to co-sponsor a motion to kick Mike Johnson out. Vacate the chair. Oh, boy, it's going to be a busy day. Busy news day. I don't know where that's going to go or not. Let me go to Steve. Hey, Steve, how are you doing? Central Point, what's on your mind today? You have a pebble of positivity. Take it away. I'd love to hear it.
A pearl of positivity.
A pearl. Okay, a pearl. There we go.
I just wanted to say I'm very grateful for the traffic signals that were installed at the intersection of Scenic Avenue and Highway 99. I've had several close calls accident-wise trying to cross that intersection when things got very busy. And,
was there no traffic light there? It's been a while since I've gone down that section of 99 there. What was it like before, Steve?
Well, the traffic would back up behind you, and of course you felt the pressure of everybody wanting to go. And
oh, yeah.
Sometimes they had to accelerate extra fast to get across the intersection.
And then people would put themselves in danger because there's that natural pressure, right, when you have a whole line of traffic behind you, right? Gosh, I got to get going. Gosh, I got to get going. And then the people behind you are doing things like, have you ever yelled at someone, you idiot, I could have gone four times during that during that break? You know how that works, right?
Right. ODOT and various contractors did a nice job, too. The railroad tracks are level with the pavement, and it's just it may add a couple of minutes to your commute, but it's worth it.
All right. Well, a lot easier getting in and out of Scenic on 99. Good thing. Good safety thing. Thanks for the pearl of positivity, my friend. Okay?
Thank you, Bill.
You're very welcome. It's 7:35. Hey, we're going to talk about the lobbies and their influence on politics in the state of Oregon. Josephine County Commissioner and former State Senator Barrett Chigger joins me next.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Veal with your NBC5 Morning News Update. The Medford School District says it's facing significant financial difficulties. MSD says it's already facing a projected $15 million deficit over the next 2 years. The Medford School District says they are looking at different ways to cut costs, like staff sizes. They will have their first budget committee meeting May 2nd, where they will release their reduction plan for next year. This week is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week in honor of those first responders. Every year during the second week in April, 911 call takers and dispatchers are honored across the country for their work. This week is a time to celebrate and thank those who dedicate their lives to public service. To all of our local dispatchers and others working to protect our community, thank you so much for your service. Medford nonprofit CommunityWorks is hosting a free event today to commemorate survivors of sexual assaults and violence. The Start by Believing event will feature an expert panel discussing how to recognize and address signs of abuse. Start by Believing takes place today from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Smullen Health Education Center on the RRMC campus in Medford. Register online or CommunityWorks says anyone is welcome to show up at the door. For local news anytime, you can head to our website, KOBI5.com, or to our Facebook page. And that's a look at your morning headlines. From C5 News, I'm Marcus Veal. Happy Tuesday.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
We have some real issues here in Southern Oregon, and when it comes to the state senator to represent us, there is only one clear choice, Christine Goodwin. Christine is a strong, vibrant, get-her-done conservative who won't leave Southern Oregon behind against those far-left Portland politicians. Matter of fact, as representative, she has the number one conservative voting record of all time by nationally recognized CPAC in the legislature among senators, representatives, and congressmen serving over 2 years. Christine helped recriminalize hard drugs, strengthen laws for our police, and even worked to help Texas in trying to close the southern border. Hey, Republicans, make sure you vote Christine Goodwin for state senate in the primary. She's a winner, and let's back a winner. This former high school teacher, small business owner, commissioner, and school board chair knows how to get it done on all levels. Sending her to Salem to battle those urban politicians is the best thing we can do. Vote Christine Goodwin for state senate. Paid for by Goodwin for Oregon, PAC ID 21708.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Through April, purchase a set of 4 Cooper tires for practically whatever you drive, and you'll get a Visa reward card in the mail. Get $100 on top of the line Cooper Discover STT Pro Mud Terrains or Cobra Instincts for your sports car. Get $75 on 5 styles of all-terrain truck tires, including the popular AT3 XLT, and get $50 on 3 styles of all-season passenger tires, including Endeavor. Save on Cooper tires at Phoenix Auto Center. Center Tire Pros.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Jolene from Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Such an interesting morning. We had the anti-Israel agitators blocking traffic on Interstate 5 yesterday, charged with disorderly. In other words, a slap on the wrist. We have President Trump charged with contempt. We have Representative Massey, who is now saying we're going to vacate the chair. In other words, the vote will be to kick Speaker Mike Johnson out again. And they're having trouble fighting people to actually take the gig. Wow, wow, interesting time. Well, you know, if there's anyone who has served in interesting times, it's former state senator, state rep too, for that matter, Herman Bearchager. Of course, he's current Josephine County Commissioner. Not running for re-election. So I guess you can speak even more freely than you used to. Would that be fair? Herman, welcome back to the show.
Oh, I don't know. I think I've always spoke pretty freely. It's gotten me in trouble a few times, but
well, I'm always happy to talk to people who are getting themselves in trouble, you know, politically like that, okay? But hey, you know, now you talk with Benz quite frequently. He's a good friend. You know, you and he served as in the state senate, you know, a while back there.
He was my deputy leader when I was the leader.
Yeah. And so, I guess did he talk to you at all about this FISA court reauthorization, you know, going into the weekend? Because Speaker Johnson ended up voting no. He was the tie-breaking no vote that stopped the warrant requirement. So, in other words, they would be able to continue to spy on Americans without the warrant, right, you know, their communications. I didn't think that was a good move for Mike Johnson. I think the concern was that it wouldn't pass. The FISA court reauthorization wouldn't pass the Senate. And so I'm thinking to myself, so what? Let the Senate turn it down. Let the Senate show its true stripes. But any thoughts on that? Have you talked with him about it yet?
I haven't talked to Representative Benz on this particular issue. But, you know, there's so many conversations in the background. And I think you've heard me say it before, Bill, that politics, when you're in those leadership positions and everything, it's like playing 5 chess games at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're anticipating all these, you know, you move this and, you know, a dozen other things move. So it's pretty complicated. Yeah, it's easy to stand on the outside and try to figure it out and criticize. And that's all good and well. But I'm going to tell you that it's so complicated, with all the sidebar conversations going on.
And maybe that's just it. It's the sidebar conversations that we never hear about that end
right.
up likely driving a lot of the votes. Would that be a fair assessment, the way it works
that's
in the real
a
world?
Fair assessments. You know, hey, Representative A, I really need your help on this. I know you need a new bridge. you know, let's talk about how we can get there.
Mm-hmm. Or hey, City of Gold Hill, City of Shady Cove, they need this stuff. Will you play ball? You know, those kind of things, right?
Yeah, you know, the conversation, you know, it'll be more like, you know, I really could use your help. We got to have this conversation. You know, I understand you need something out of it, too. And so all that stuff is going on. But there's hundreds of those conversations going on, not just, I'm oversimplifying it in our conversation, Bill.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's take an example where the concerns that I had, that Republicans, in essence, in order for, you know, a few million dollars to come in for infrastructure needed, don't get me wrong, you know, about that, but essentially voting yes for bad Democrat bills. Am I wrong in my feelings about that?
That happens. It does happen. I was pretty disciplined, but I served in a little bit different times. So in the times I served, you could kill bills in the Oregon legislature because, first of all, the Republicans were close to having the numbers of Democrats. And then there was always a half dozen Democrats that were pretty free thinking. Let's call them moderates. OK, you know, when I was in there, we had Hass, Beyer, Roblin, Johnson, just to name a few. And so I was in a bill killing mode the entire 8 years I was there, because all I had to do was get one or two of those votes of a Democrat and we could kill it. Okay.
But that's the difference between now what all these state reps and state senators are serving in. They can't really kill any bills, can they?
They'll kill stupid bills. But I mean, the real meaningful ones that will change your life, no, they can't kill them. So the lobby has changed their attitude. You know, the lobby used to, they would want to kill bills and you could do it. Well, they can't kill bills anymore. So now it's, let's amend it so it's not as bad. And so what the lobby will do is they'll say, they'll submit their amendment, and the Democrats will say, well, you find me a few Republican votes and we can talk about this. And so now it's more about amending. We used to call it polishing the turd.
You know, I've heard that term. I've used that term, but I didn't realize that even within the legislative process, you'd use the term. I love it. Okay.
Right. So it's changed because the discipline out of the Democrat serving, you're not going to get anybody to break anymore. Okay. They're just not. They just don't have the feet. The free-thinking people in the Democrats serving in the legislature.
So the Democrats are a monolith, in essence, and very little people, you can't really peel the Democrat away. They pretty much know that. And so the choice then is to get Republicans on board to give the appearance of bipartisanship, right? Isn't that what?
Right. Then you can share the blame. You don't have to take the whole blame.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
When I was talking with Representative Christine Goodwin, you know, a Senate candidate, you know, yesterday about this, and, you know, and she was talking about being very proud of 4002. A lot of the people that all voted for that, they're very proud of 4002. And yet I thought that was some of the thinnest gruel that's going on there. They're all sitting around glad-handing each other. What is this, all Stockholm syndrome? In fact, we can't even really see what's going on here, or, you know.
It's all of that, you know, but the game, you know, depends how you play the game. So I, you know, like I said, I was in bill killing mode most of the time I was there, but I was also, I would do things that, I'll give you an example, this paid family leave.
Yeah.
So that's a horrible bill, it's just a horrible thing, policy in the state of Oregon. However, I got an amendment in there to exempt small businesses, 25 employees or less, so they don't have to participate in it.
Oh, you're the one that got that in. I didn't know that.
Okay. Well, there were some other folks that helped, and I did. Now, I can't remember if I voted. I'd have to look up, because a lot of times when I would do, I used to just drive the Senate president nuts. You know, I would get these amendments in, And then when it came for a floor vote, it would come around to me because the way it goes, I would vote yes, and then I'd watch the board, and if it had like 17 or 18 votes right before the gavel went down, I'd raise my hand and I'd switch to no. So on the record, I'd be a no, but I got my amendment in. I got some grief for pulling that shenanigans a few times, but that's okay.
Yeah, but isn't that what's the point of that though? Because that's almost like where the Congress critters are saying, "Well, I voted for it until I voted against it, or I was against it until I was for it."
Exactly. Yeah, but on the record, I'm a no vote on the rest. Somebody looks up the record in 5 years from now. Oh, he was a no vote.
Mm.
So I mean, those are some of the things that you know. The difference between a legislator and a lobbyist is a legislator has constituents they represent. A lobbyist have clients that pay them big sacks of money to do whatever they want to do. There's no loyalty, whether it's a conservative issue or a liberal issue. It's just, hey, I'm paying you to do this, and that's just how it is. So,
well, when you look at a lot of the representatives and senators or stars, it's a huge amount of money on the lobbies, wouldn't you say?
I would say that 90% of all the money that gets people elected in the state of Oregon comes from the lobby.
So we pesky little people are actually a very small part.
You get very little money from your district, very little. So, you know, I just brought up like Goodwin, okay? And we can't go through all of her, but we'll go through a few of it here. So Big Pharma just gave her $20,000. Friends of Bobby Levy gave her $3,000. Friends from Senator Girard gave her $25,000. AllCare gave her a couple thousand. Koch Industries, Senator Dick Anderson gave $2,500. You know, you go up here like Fred Girard, Senator Girard gave her $25,000. Well, he didn't give her $25,000 of his money. He gave $25,000. Dollars from money that he got from other lobbyists. Okay, so
wait a minute. So friends of Fred Girard, which is number one on this Orstar here. I'm taking a look at it myself. Come to think of it, is actually not Fred Girard. It's other people, other lobbyists who gave money to Fred Girard, and then it gets laundered. In a fashion, so we don't really know where that money came from. Then we would have to go to Fred Girard's Orstar in order to find out where he got the money to give them.
Right, and then you might have to go down five or six rabbit holes to actually figure it all out. It's pretty complicated because Fred Girard could have got it from somebody else, and they got it from somebody else, and they got it from somebody else. So,
well, I remember I used to see Sal Esquivel always doing that, being the, trying to be the kingmaker here in Jackson County, doing that,
right.
Kiss the ring and here's the money, that kind of thing. Right.
Yeah. And I did the same thing as the leader because the leader gets the most money. And I'm trying to get my folks elected. I'm kind of surprised that Fred, though, this is where the smell gets really bad. So Fred denied quorum the last session.
Yeah.
But he got medical exemptions from the Senate president. Okay. So he wasn't gone more than 10 days. So
he didn't come under Measure 113. Now, see,
right.
that's about the squishiness of having the speaker or the leaders ending up, deciding who gets the excuse or not, right? The excused
absence. And we all know how ill Senator Robinson has been. And you asked Noah when you talked to him today how many medical exemptions Senator Robinson got.
I will ask him that. So Fred Girard got the exemptions, but I'll bet you Art Robinson, a little less cooperative, shall we say, with the lobbies.
Probably if I remember right, it's zero. He got zero medical exemptions.
And we're talking about a guy who was in the hospital, right?
Exactly. Right. Yes.
Boy, what a fraud those unions selling Measure 113 under the do your job thing. What an evil that was. Just unbelievable. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's listen, it's a dirty business. It just is. It's just how it, it works up there. But, you know, for all the listeners out there, remember, the lobbyists have no loyalty to constituents at all. Okay, their loyalty is with their clients. And so you have different kinds of lobbyists. You have a lobbyist, like, for one company. Okay, mm-hmm. So you have a lobbyist for a company. That's all they lobby for is that company.
All right, so what happens then when you have, like this one I'm looking at, Pacific Northwest Pharma Pack? What is a Pharma Pack? What does it do?
Okay, so that'll be all the big pharmas contribute to that pack.
All right. Why?
Okay. Well, to lobby. And it's a big pack. They're a heavy hitter. They got lots of money.
Oh.
but then you'll have lobbyists join. Let me give you an example. Let's take an easy one. Let's take agriculture. So we got food and shelter, Oregonians for food and shelter. We've got the Farm Bureau. We've got the nursery folks. And there's a few other farm groups. And so when there's a farm bill, then they will all unite, okay? And all these different lobbyists will unite under one hat to pass something. Then you have contract lobbyists. So what a contract lobbyist is somebody that just, they all have a whole bunch of different clients, a big spectrum of different clients. You know, it's amazing how many different clients. And so they lobby with, for those particular clients. Then another thing a lobbyist do is you'll get a lobbyist who will befriend a certain amount of legislators, and they become pretty good acquaintances. The lobbyist supports them, and they have a really good relationship with these legislators. Then, so now a bill comes, and so lobbyists, A is good friends with Senator so-and-so. And so another lobbyist will have a bill and they'll say, you know, lobbyist A has a good relationship. I'm going to hire lobbyist A to work for lobbyist B to go and talk to so-and-so legislator. See, and they'll hire him. That's contracting. So they'll do those kind of things. Listen, I took a lot of money from, the lobby and from businesses, but I always was on a relationship that just because you gave me money doesn't mean that you get carte blanche. And some of them weren't too happy with me, you know?
Well, given the, let me put it this way here, Herman, in your political opinion, your voice of experience, you served at a different time because you were actually able to kill bills. And right now, anyone that's in the Senate or in the House, you know, in the state legislature, they really can't kill bills. You might be able to get an amendment here and there if you're lucky and you play ball. Is the lobbyist money coming with more "you wills" rather than "hey, we hope you will"? What do you think?
I don't know. You know, it depends on your makeup. I mean, I stood pretty close to my convictions. I didn't vary from them, but I was also honest with my lobbyists. Okay, so if there was a bill, and they come into my office, they say, "Hey, that really." One good thing about the lobbyists is they educate you about what's going on with a bill. Why is it good? Why is it bad?
Yeah, and let's say like the Farm Bureau as an example. When there's something that's attacking agriculture, they're able to explain how it's attacking. So I understand the need for the lobby, but you know, a lot of this stuff gets done behind the scenes. We never know about it as regular folks. That's all.
Yeah, but what even when lobbyists disagreed with me, I think they respected me because if I had a bill and I told the lobbyists, "Yeah, I'll support that bill." Well, bills get changed in the process. Okay, so they get amendments in committee, they go over to the House, they get amended, and all of a sudden. And so when I see an amendment passed that I can no longer support that bill, the first thing I did was pick up the phone, call the lobbyist, and say, "Hey, lobbyist, I'm sorry, I can no longer support the bill." You never wanted to surprise them on the floor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You always gave them the courtesy of saying, "Look, I can't support it anymore. It's changed. It's not the bill that it started with. I'm done." And so I always did that. I never surprised them on the floor.
But I wanted to circle back, though, that lobbyists are a critical part of getting people elected. That's just the reality, right? We want to understand that.
I think in Oregon, at least 90% of all the money for the campaigns come from the lobby.
Okay, so I guess the next question then is campaign finance reform that was technically passed in the last legislative session. Do you think that will change much?
No, you just spread it out. You'll figure out how to spread it out and how to move it to other people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they'll figure it out.
Do we, the people, then really have control over our government in the state?
Yeah, you do, because you have your parties and you need to listen to your parties. And, because the ultimate is the voter that votes.
Yeah.
The trick with that is to educate the voter. I wouldn't say educate is to inform the voter, okay? And that is really the difficult part, because, yeah, you can set up the speakers and the megaphone, but how do you get them to listen? Do you follow me, Bill?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, that's the challenging part So if you look at voters 100 years ago or 150 years ago, I think they were trying to get informed more than our average voter is today. I really do.
In some ways, and I don't like to put it this way, but the lobbies are almost a stand-in for what used to be a more informed citizenry.
Right.
Interesting.
And so you see the lobbyists get real involved in these. And they used to never get involved in primaries. Never.
Okay. Boy, they're involved in primaries right now. I'm looking at some of these horror stories.
The reason why is because they can get somebody elected. And remember what I said? The lobbyist has a person then that they have a close relationship with, and that's meaningful, a very close relationship. And so it may not even be a bill that has to do with that lobbyist with the close relationship, but another lobbyist will reach out to that lobbyist and say, hey, can you go talk to you? You got a good relationship.
Yeah, you have a good relationship with this one particular rep or senator, right? That kind of thing. And and so you exchange influence, right? You exchange favors.
For money.
Uh-huh.
There's always a check in the deal for somebody.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So that's how it works. But at the end of the day, we do, as a Republican Party, we have folks up there that are very close to their convictions, and they get a lot of heat for it, and you hear about it. Well, you didn't bring any money home. Well, I didn't bring much money home, because any money that I brought home to my district, I didn't have to give a vote. I didn't have to do anything for it. It just happened.
To be fair, in the current situation, given the numbers of the state legislature, do you have to give something now to get the money?
I don't know. I would say maybe possible. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
Yeah, yeah, because of the difference in the numbers and the balance of power, as it were. I'm just talking about, realistically. Harmon, I love these conversations, though, where I can try to figure out, this is the kind of stuff that none of us really know. Most regular people who are not actually within this whole process understand it. And you help pull back the curtain from Oz at the controls a little bit. OK,
well, and I'm not trying to paint that lobbyists are all bad. Remember what I said? They do a really good job on educating me, and
right.
They did okay, cell phone tax or something like that. I don't know nothing about it. And so now I get an expert sits down with me one-on-one, explains why this is bad, why this is good, whatever it is, And so it gives you a lot different perspective. And you may get a lobbyist on the other side of it come in and tell you why it's bad, and one lobbyist tell you how it's good. So it gives you you get to listen to the both sides. You get to listen to, all the facts. And so there's a good part of the lobby too. So
right.
I don't want to throw them all under the bus. There is a part there that I very well respected, and I was glad to hear from them,
all
whether
right.
I agreed or disagreed.
But still,
I learned a lot.
But kind of a necessary evil in it, too. All right. And I really appreciate that. But yeah, we are seeing the lobbies, though, weighing in on primaries in a way that I don't think I've seen, you know, in my.
No, and I disagree with that. And in fact, it saddens me to see all this money, and I'm specifically talking to Republican primaries, all this money being gobbled up and used in a primary where we should be saving that for the general election to get more Republicans. And because the lobby only has so much money.
Right.
Okay. They do. It's not like it's endless. And so now you're gobbling it. You're using it up in primaries. Excuse me. But that's where I think the lobby has switched gears. It's no longer about killing bills. It's more about amending
them, like you talked about. All right. Yeah. Herman, thanks for the schooling. Okay. I appreciate it. That was good talk. I really appreciate it. And, we'll kick it around.
Don't forget to ask Noah Robinson about how many medical excuses Art Robinson got.
I will do that in 10, okay? We'll do it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Herman.